In your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter in your Schofield Bible, page 1276. Page 1276. We'll be reading verses 11 through 16 of the 4th chapter of 1 Timothy. We'll read the 11th through the 16th verses responsively, and we'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Everyone standing. The 12th verse is the text verse. And I have this announcement. Mr. Gerald Branch is looking for Stacy Henderson. Please meet at the usher's stand. The usher stand is in the hallway at the southeast corner of the auditorium. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for another Sunday, for this day that allows us to gather in fellowship and the hearing of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Bless, we pray, this service. Anoint our preacher and anoint our ears to hear that which you have for us today. Give us carefulness to hear and help us to do according to what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful little truth I have for you this morning. Something that I think, not life, earth-changing, but life-changing, I think. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, a very unusual subject. I'm going to speak on the subject to be like each other, to be like each other. We've heard the song, to be like Jesus. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, to be like each other. I will not be as bombastic as sometimes I am, but I will give you a marvelous little truth I believe will help you immeasurably in your Christian life. So I want you to listen very carefully as I unlock a door that is seldom unlocked with a key that is seldom used to a truth that is little known, to be like each other. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that this message will be a help to my people and those who are for a few moments my people as visitors. I pray that today we will learn something that will help us eventually, to be more conformed to the image of thy Son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. I love the passages that remind me of Christ-likeness. I love the passages that tell me that I am supposed to be like Jesus. Like 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. And like Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And like John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. I love the verses in the Bible that teach me I am to be like Jesus. I love the songs that exhort me to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness, come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him. I love those songs. The songs that remind, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. And I love those songs. Now, listen carefully, because I'm going to cross you up right now. Now, the simple truth is, there's no way that a new Christian can even make a decent attempt to being like Jesus. No way in the world. No way. You may as well tell a beginning pianist to be like Van Cliburn. Notice I did not say Liberace. But you may as well say to a pianist that's just doing chopsticks or doing the scale, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Brother Anderson likes that last note, do. And, you tell the beginning pianist, okay, that's point to Van Cliburn and say, that's what I want you to be like. No hope, no hope in the world. No way, won't do any good. You may as well tell a little league ball player to be like Pete Rose. There's just no way. That's too far out. No way, a little league ball player just playing a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old ball player. You say, I want you to be like Pete Rose. No way, it's too far from it. Or you may as well tell a young preacher to be like R.G. Lee. Say, this is what I want. You let Dr. Lee preach Payday someday and then say, this is what I want you to be like. No way in the world. That's way too far. It's way beyond the reach of a young preacher. Or you may as well tell a young prize fighter, a boxer, to be like Muhammad Ali. But there's no way. There's only one Muhammad Ali, and for that I'm grateful. But I'm probably, and I say this honestly, though I never have been his fan, I say it honestly, probably the greatest fighter who ever lived was Muhammad Ali. I'd rather say Joe Louis. He was in my time. But I have to say, probably the greatest combination of speed and quickness and power was Muhammad Ali. But you wouldn't say to a young fella just starting boxing, now I want you to be like Muhammad Ali. Or you may as well say to some young artist, now I want you to be like Michelangelo. Take him over to the Sistine Chapel and let him see that marvelous painting, The Last Judgment, and say, now I want you to paint like that. That's what I want you to paint like. That's what I want you to be like. There's no way. You see, now here's the message, so listen carefully. It is better for a young pianist to try to find someone who is trying to be like Van Cliburn, and for that young pianist to be like someone who's trying to be like Van Cliburn. It is far better for a young baseball player not to try to be like Pete Rose, but to try to be like somebody who's trying to be like Pete Rose. It is far better for a young boxer or fighter not to try to be like Muhammad Ali, but it's better for him to try to find somebody who is trying to be like Muhammad Ali, and for a young boxer to try to be like somebody who is trying to be like Muhammad Ali. It is a lot better for some young preacher not to try to be like R.G. Lee, but to find somebody who is trying to be like R.G. Lee, and for him to be like somebody or try to be like somebody who's trying to be like R.G. Lee. You see, so what happens? A young pianist finds a teacher. And this is a wonderful truth, a wonderful truth. A young pianist finds a teacher. Now, the teacher is no Van Cliburn, but the teacher's working toward being a Van Cliburn. Now, it's a lot better for the young pianist to say, I would like to be like my teacher who would like to be like Van Cliburn. And it's better for a young baseball player to find somebody between him and Pete Rose. Maybe he'd be a high school player, or maybe he'd be a manager of his little league team. And for him to say, I'd like to be like my manager, and my manager would like to be like Pete Rose. It makes it more accessible. It makes it easier. It's better for a boxer to say, I'll not be like Muhammad Ali, but I'll find a boxer and try to be like a boxer who is trying to be like Muhammad Ali. It's better for a painter or an artist to say, I'll try to be like somebody who's trying to be like Michelangelo. For you will fail if you try to be a painter like Michelangelo, but you maybe could be like somebody that Michelangelo has taught. Or you may could be a boxer like somebody that Muhammad Ali has taught. Or you might could be a baseball player like somebody that Pete Rose has taught. Or you might could be a pianist like somebody whom Van Cliburn has taught. And now for the child of God, there's no way, I would not point to anybody in this room and say, you new Christians, you be like Jesus. Now, the truth is, we're supposed to be like Jesus, but the best way for you to be like Jesus someday is for you to find somebody who's like him now that you can see and try to be like that somebody. So, the young Christian finding it difficult to be like Jesus, for that matter, I wouldn't try to be like Paul. For that matter, I wouldn't try to be like John Rice. For that matter, I wouldn't try to be like Billy Sunday. But tell you what you could do. You could find some young preacher John Rice trained, and you could try to be like him while he's trying to be like John Rice. Or you could find some piano teacher who's not a Van Cliburn, but somebody that is striving to be a Van Cliburn, and you could try to be like that one. So God gives us a mom or a dad, and a little boy says, I'd like to be like my daddy when I grow up, and I like that. You know a statement, Dr. Evans, it said, I dare say that we have preacher after preacher come to Howells Anderson College and preach this, and they're all full of prunes, if they say it. They say, be yourself. Be yourself. There's only one Jack Hiles. There's only one Wendell Evans. You be yourself. That's the biggest bunch of tomfoolery I ever saw in my life. That's not true. Paul said, I can but speak the things I've seen and heard. And the honest truth is, nobody can be a self. You came in this world without any knowledge in your head and your clothes on your body. Now, you ought to get both, by the way, as soon as you can. But, and folks that don't have much clothes on their body, that's a sign they haven't got much brains in their head. But I'm saying, there's no way in the world that you're going to be the big leaguer. No way. But you can. You can say to a dad, I'd like to be like you when I grew up, Dad. Hey, that sure puts responsibility on Dad, doesn't it? Or a young lady can say, instead of saying, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Young lady can say, to be like Mama, to be like Mama. All I ask, to be like her. And now that puts responsibility on Mama. And that means, Mama, woe be you if you're not trying to be like Jesus. And that means, Daddy, woe be to you if you're not trying to be like Jesus. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, young Timothy, he said, be an example. And by the way, that word example means a pattern, just like you'd put a piece of paper over another and trace what's on that paper. Paul said to Timothy, he said, you be a pattern. And what he was saying is, I want young preachers, Timothy, now that you're a middle-aged preacher, I want young preachers to pattern after you like you pattern after me, like I pattern after Jesus. He said, well, only one Bob Jones. That's not true. There are three. You know, they prayed at Bob Jones University in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Bob the Third. And so I'm saying, only one Bob Jones. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had 50? Only one Lee Robertson, boy, only one. Wouldn't that be good if we had 50 Lee Robertsons around the country? Only one Tom Malone, you can't be like him. I know, but wouldn't it be good if you could? Now, the honest truth is, Paul said, Timothy, I want you to be a pattern. I want you to be the kind of person where, for example, I take this Kleenex up here, and I put it right here, and I got the word here. Bob Jones, right here. And I'm going to write the word Bob. I'm following the line right underneath it, Bob Jones. Now, that means it looks exactly like what's written down here, the word Bob Jones. And Paul said, Timothy, he said, I want you in your speech to so speak until young people can pattern after your speech. I want you, he said, in your behavior. Conversation there means behavior. I want you in your behavior. I want you to so behave so that those who follow you can pattern after your behavior. Then he said, in charity or love. He said, I want you to so love. I know folks here this morning in this room who have people under you. Maybe it's a child. You say to your child, your children, you get along with each other. And yet you don't get along with folks you work with. Now, you are supposed to be the pattern. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The most loving member of this church ought to be the person you're looking at right now. And the most loving member of the senior grade school ought to be this man right here. And the most loving member of the grade school ought to be this man right here. And the most loving member of the A-Bus ministry ought to be this man right here. And if you teach a Sunday school class, you coach a football or basketball team, you teach a class in college, you teach a class in high school, you're a circle leader, you're a school principal, you're an administrator, or you have a class of boys and girls in the evening class, listen to me. You are supposed to be as a leader, a pattern in conversation, in behavior, in love. You have no right to say to your kids, don't get along with each other if you can't get along with folks you work with. You have no right to say to your kids, don't be critical of your friends if you're critical of the folks who are your contemporaries. Now, the honest single truth is, the apostle's saying to Timothy, he's saying in love, in word, in behavior, in faith, in purity, he said, I want you to be a pattern. Ladies and gentlemen, most of us are so far from being like Jesus, we've just better find somebody that is like him and say, I'd like to be like them. And I say this morning to you new Christian, you're not going to love like Jesus could love, but why don't you try to first, let's suppose, Dr. Evans, let's suppose, maybe that the freshman Howells Anderson College, instead of trying to love like Jesus loves, maybe they could love like you love. Or Mr. Lively, or Mr. Bullard, and the junior high school, or the serviceman's ministry, and the work in the fisherman's club, maybe the folks in the fisherman's club ought to try to be a soul winner like you are. You see? Maybe they couldn't be as good a soul winner as Jesus. But if you are between them and Jesus, then they're on their way to Jesus if they're like you. And I'm so glad the Apostle Paul put it like this. And I'm so glad he made it where there's somebody I could reach. Because Jesus is beyond my reach. But as I reach for him, I reach the next person closest to him. And I say, I'd like to be like him. That means, did you know the right kind of a school teacher will have children wanting to be school teachers? Let me tell you, the biggest compliment that you could have is if one of your pupils in your class this year walked down this aisle, knelt this altar, and surrendered to be a Christian school teacher. You know, one of the greatest compliments that a pastor can have is for a young man in his pulpit in church to want to be preachers. Now, the average young man that's called to preach in this church, he's not called to preach because he heard Jesus preach one time and said, I like to preach like Jesus. He's called to preach because he heard me preach one time and said, I'd like to get off my chest like he does. Man, I like to holler at people and tell them what I think about them. So I feel the call of God to preach. Now, forgive me, but he's saying, I want to be like Brother Heil. That's what he's saying. That's why a lot of the denominations are dying. Because nobody wants to be like those guys up there wearing those gowns. I mean, suppose this morning I'd have walked out of that door. Holy, holy, holy. Now, not one little old red-blooded American boy, tow-headed kid in this house had said, boy, I'd like to grow up and be like that. Now, one or two may have. I'm talking about real boys. Not a one of them would. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that I know no greater compliment than when young boys want to be a preacher. And you know what? David Gibbs came on the scene several years ago as a Christian lawyer. Dr. Evans, I never met a kid in any of my meetings that wanted to be a Christian lawyer. And now everywhere I go, fellows are surrendering to be Christian lawyers. You know why? Because they just thought about the country needs Christian lawyers. No, sir! They said, I'd like to be like old David Gibbs. That's what they're saying. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, Timothy, you're a leader. And every single person that follows you ought to want to be like you. Now, you said, if that be the truth, then you better be careful what you say. And you better be careful how you behave. And you better be careful about your love in your heart. You better be careful about bitterness towards somebody and about criticizing somebody. You better be careful about your walk and your talk. Why? Because you are to be a pattern, an example. And I'm saying, blessed be God. I'm a little tired of folks saying, well, don't try to copy anybody. Well, bless God, if you could be another John Rice, wonderful. We need one desperately here in this country. Paul said to Timothy, be thou an example. Three times in his epistles, Paul wrote these words, be thou followers of me. Listen, do you know, Brother John, I followed John Rice for years. I you know how much I loved him and how much I love his memory now. But you know, after I've been preaching for years and reading a lot, the more I read R.A. Torrey, the more I saw John R. Rice. And, you know, I thought John Rice was an original. No. Jesus is the original. And he chose 12 apostles and said, copy me best you can. And the next generation had to copy them because they couldn't see Jesus. And their followers, they said, we tried to copy Jesus now. You try to copy us as best you can. And so, John Rice was a bit ahead of me, and R.A. Torrey was about as far ahead of John Rice as John Rice was of me. And so, I noticed, I'd read R.A. Torrey, and I'd say, I don't know where Dr. Rice got that. You know, that's one great danger of young preacher. Wanting to change the whole world by some new doctrine. I've been teaching 2 years here at First Baptist Church on Wednesday nights. Oh, about 2.5 years now. On two subjects. Holy Spirit and prayer. Holy Spirit and prayer. I mean the basics. You know, it's amazing. I was reading the other day. In fact, here's where I got this sermon idea. I was reading Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. And as I read that thing, for the first time in my life, I said, that sounds like something else. I mean, the other day, I was reading something. Have I read this 15th chapter of Acts? Have I read it recently? No, I hadn't. I got back, looked at my notes I keep as to what I read in the Bible. No, well, where did I read this? And it hit me. It's almost word for word what Stephen said in his sermon he preached before he was stoned to death. I mean, not where much of it is. And I went back to Stephen's sermon he preached, and to the Sanhedrin, and then I read Paul's sermon. Well, I wonder why Paul was so much like Stephen. Well, good night. Paul was there holding their coats while they stoned Stephen. Paul saw him die. That means Paul heard that sermon. And that means Paul copied Stephen's sermon. Paul! Plagiarist. I go to church after church after church. And people come up to me and say, Brother House, do you get our pastor's tapes? Yeah. And so often, rather than disappoint somebody, I'll say, look, your pastor's been a help to me through the years. And the truth is, I preached down in Arkansas the other day, and an old little guy preached. My soul, he preached. Anybody here remember the sermon I preached on raising Lazarus from the dead? Our part, God's part. Our part, God's part. And so, a little fellow stood preached right before me. Listen, great little preacher too. And he preached on Lazarus being raised from the dead. He forgot where he heard it. He said, in the first place, my first point is our part. Second point is God's part. Third point is our part. He used the same illustrations all the way through. And he said, how'd you feel? I was mad. He said, because he copied your sermon? No, I was pleased about that. I was mad because he preached it better than I did. Dr. Ms. R.G. Lee, we're on a vacation. Dr. Lee told me this. Before you died, it was easier to take a vacation then. And So they're on a vacation. They stopped on a Sunday morning way out in the out of the woods, little country church. About 35, 40 people were there. And they sat back in the back. The pastor didn't know him. And so the pastor preached Dr. R.G. Lee's sermon, Payday Someday, word for word. Word for word. Memorized it. And Dr. Lee was furious. He was just furious. They got in the car and drove off, and Dr. Lee told me how mad he was. He said, Brother Jack, I said to my wife, I said, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. She said, what's wrong? Why, he said, he preached my sermon Payday Someday, word for word. She said, yeah, and he did it better than you do, too. You know that I see so much of Lee Robertson and Tom Wallace. You know this, I see so much of Bob Jones Sr. in Monroe Parker. And I'm glad The other morning I preached a sermon here. And I wept. And I wasn't as loud as usual. And my voice maybe had a little more pathos than usual. And Tom Kimmel, one of our men, wrote me a note, put it under my door. And he said, "You must have loved him." He said, "I saw John Rice so much in you today." And I was so pleased. Because the world shouldn't forget him. And if you'll watch me carefully, you listen. Now don't come here to do this, but if you did, you could see it. One sermon I preach, you'll see a little brother Olaf. Next sermon I preach, you'll see Lee Robertson. Next sermon I preach, you'll see John Rice. Next sermon I preach, you'll see old Dr. Bob Sr. Next sermon I preach, you'll see Dr. Bill Rice a little bit. You say, "Brother Hiles, it takes a lot of grace to admit that." Oh, no, it doesn't. Paul said, "I can't but speak the things I've seen and heard." And Paul said, "Timothy, you be the kind of person in your talk, in your love, in your spirit, in your zeal, in your behavior, so that you will be an example or a pattern." And then turned around and said, Timothy, you, by the way, you follow me. Said, "Timothy," Paul, now Paul was the greatest Christian alive. He said, "Timothy, I've been copying Stephen a little bit." Said, "Now, Timothy," said, "you follow me." And Paul said, "Timothy, be sure now that you be the kind of person that can be copied to in your life. You'll see, if you had known my pastor, Brother Sizemore, quite often you'd see Brother Sizemore and me. If you had known my Uncle Harvey, you'd see, oftentimes you'd say, and I'm sure that folks here in my family who knew Uncle Harvey, I'm sure sometimes, Earlene, maybe you say, that's a lot like Uncle Harvey. Uncle Harvey had such a wonderful way with people, and I tried to copy it. That's why I have such a wonderful way with people. But Uncle Harvey had such a manner of greeting folks. You heard me say this, but he'd walk down the street and see the postman. He'd always speak to him. Say, "Good morning, Uncle Sam." Always called her postman Uncle Sam. I call him other words, but I am. But you'd see that. I know a young preacher, one of the finest young preachers I know, one of my preacher boys. I was his hero. And by the way, he is probably one of the best pulpiteers that I've ever turned out in my ministry. Most of you would not know him. But I was his hero. And people kept telling him around the country. Said, "Hey, yeah, you remind me of Brother Hiles. Yeah, yeah. Well, I can sure tell what Brother Hiles is, boys, when I hear him." And this particular preacher boy didn't know that was a compliment. They were trying to compliment him. And he shrank back from trying to be like Brother Hiles. He rebelled about it. And he wanted to be his own man. You know how to find, Mr. O'Clair, you know how to find a weak man? A fellow that wants to be his own man. That's weakness. I happen to think that I can incorporate John Rice and Bob Jones and Bill Rice and Bob Jones Jr. and Bob Jones III. And I happen to think I can incorporate Lester Roloff, and I happen to think I can incorporate Uncle Harvey and Brother Sizemore in me and still be me. I think I'm enough man to decorate myself a little bit and still be me. And you folks that are shrink back from trying to do that, "I'll be my own man." You're acting like a mouse now. "I'll tell you what, I'm my own man." Say it enough, you'll convince yourself. But you won't convince anybody else. Just go about it. And you say, "Wouldn't it be a shame, Brother Evans, if Dr. Robertson passes away someday and there weren't a Tom Wallace and other fellows to remind us of him?" Tom Wallace is his own man. It just so happens he saw in Dr. Robertson something he thought his people ought to have. So, young Christian, choose carefully. Choose very carefully somebody that you think is like Jesus or tries to be like Jesus. Young pianist, don't write Van Cliburn and see if he can teach you. He's busy.
but you might find some fine pianist, piano teacher. And you might find somebody that you could mold your life after and try to be like her or him. And then maybe someday you could be like that person. And then maybe you could try to be like somebody else, and maybe someday you could try to be like Van Cliveren. And young Christian, don't look and say, I've got to be like Jesus. You can't love like Jesus. You can't preach like Jesus. But you could find somebody that tries to be, who's down the road a little ahead of you, and you can try to be like them till you catch up with them, then try to be like somebody else till you catch up with them, try to be like somebody else till you catch up with them, but always choose as your heroes somebody trying to be like Jesus. Yeah. And you can get more like him by trying to be like somebody who's trying to be like him. To be like each other. To be like each other. All I ask, to be like someone who's trying to be like Jesus. That's it. That means older Christian. That means deacons. That means church staff. That means men on the platform. That means teachers in the audience. That means anybody in this room who thinks you may have somebody that would like to be like you someday. You better watch what you say. You better watch your behavior, said Paul. Watch your love. Watch your spirit. Listen, you say, I'll tell you, your students ought to have a good spirit. All the time you got something in your heart against somebody. Tell you what, you kids are driving me nuts. Why can't you get along with each other for one day? And before the sun's down, you have something against somebody in your heart. Better watch it. In Sunday school one day, a little boy whose daddy was a factory worker, whose daddy worked with his hands, whose daddy was a godly Christian, whose daddy took the Word of God every night and read it to him, whose daddy's voice prayed for him, he heard his dad's voice pray every night, whose dad's voice sometimes was stern, but it was always loving sternness. Little poor kid sat in Sunday school one day with his bare feet dangling below his knees. Poverty-stricken little boy. Sunday school teacher said, boys and girls, I want to give you a little quiz. I want to tell you about somebody. I want you to guess who it is. He said, this somebody was born in a manger. This somebody's parents were very poor. This somebody was always loving. This somebody was always kind. This somebody always cared. This somebody lived for others all his life. Who is it? One little boy stood, a little poor kid, barefooted kid, stood up and said, I know. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. A little kid down Grange Hall Baptist Church. I used to pastor in the country. One day, the beginners were having question and answer time. And the teacher said, boys and girls, who baptized Jesus? And all the kids said, John the Baptist. And then the teacher said, who baptized John the Baptist? One little boy said, I know, Brother Hiles did. Our Heavenly Father,